Here's a question for you, for all of us. It's a question that was posed by Debbie Thomas in a beautiful essay that she had written about tonight's gospel reading, and it's a question that's been kind of haunting me ever since I read it. She asks, if you knew you were about to die, what would you tell the people you love? And I would add another layer to her question. If you knew on the night before you were going to die that you were leaving behind the people that meant the most to you, that had shared your joys and your heartaches in your brief journey on earth, what would you do for them? And I guess these questions haunt me because I wonder what kind of mental and emotional state I'll be in on the night before I die. I surely don't know if I'll even know that it is the night before I die. Will I be awake? Will I be cognitively sharp? Will I be able to say what's in my heart near the end? I mean, that could be tonight, right? I hope not, but the reality is that none of us knows the hour or the day that we will draw our last breath. This knowledge, which is really an unknowing, doesn't really trouble me all that much because it adds meaning and urgency to my life. Every day, even the most mundane, routine day that I am alive, is loaded with potential. It's loaded with the possibility of showing the people that I love just how much they are loved. Every day is full of this possibility. And that's why this may be one of my favorite verses in all of the Gospels. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And I know that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life, is often cited as the gospel in a nutshell. But this one speaks more quietly and more poignantly to me, and it's the one that I hope to live into. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. This is not a statement about belief, at least not about belief as we tend to think about belief these days. This description of how Jesus lived and loved doesn't ask me to believe correctly in order to have eternal life or to flourish in this life and not perish. It doesn't point me toward a creed or a dogma. It points straight to the heart of the matter. How to live an inspired life, a life open to the Spirit as she moves through the world and leads us in the direction of love. Through the stories of our Lenten readings, we've been following Jesus as he's made his way through the countryside, healing and feeding people, teaching his friends and anyone who would listen about the way of love. We have followed the winding path to Jerusalem, where, according to our story, he arrived on Palm Sunday and was greeted and hailed as a king riding on a young colt. That was Jesus doing what he did best, defying everyone's expectations at every turn, astounding and threatening the religious authorities, the powers of his day, turning everything upside down so that the last, the least, the weakest, and the most hopeless were exalted, brought into their rightful places as beloved children of God. If we take the story of Jesus' journey seriously, and by that I mean if we listen to it with our hearts and we take the journey with him, we find ourselves on this evening in a room with Jesus and his friends eating a meal, Perhaps we're still excited about our triumphant arrival upon entering the holy city, where our friend and leader has been received as the King of the Jews. We have no idea of what's coming next, because really, who knows what the future might bring? Even the near future, like tomorrow, or even the nearer future, tonight, in this room. But human beings that we are, we have certain expectations, hopes, and fears. And here we are with Jesus. What comes next? Well, we know the story. Since you're here in this room tonight, you already know how the story goes, chances are. We've gathered tonight because this story is profound. My point is that we, unlike Jesus' friends who were there with him that night, know what's coming. We know what's coming tomorrow, on Good Friday. But let's try to put that aside for a moment and just be here with them in this room as Jesus removes his robe, the robe of a teacher, and wraps a towel around his waist, pours water into a bowl as a servant would, and begins to wash their feet. This is not a grand gesture. It's a simple, loving, humble, and remarkable gesture. Their rabbi, their teacher, the Son of God, the King of the Jews, is about to wash their feet. This just isn't right. This is scandalous. And that's why Peter says, "You will never wash my feet." It just isn't done. And of course, that's exactly what Jesus does. On his next to last night on earth, he washes his friends' feet. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And tonight we're going to wash each other's feet. It's a strange and wonderful ritual that takes us back in time to that night before the Passover, to that room where Jesus demonstrated the way of love to his own. That's not quite right, though. The actions we take, the words we say in our rituals here in church, are meant to connect us to an experience that is so meaningful and so important that it somehow exists not only in the past, but right now, right here. Our rituals, if we let them, take us outside of time. If we can give ourselves over to the ritual, say of baptism or of communion or of foot washing, in the same way that we give our hearts over to the story of Holy Week, we can, for a little while, be set free from the digital clock, the cell phone calendar, the scheduled time that we rely on to keep our lives manageable, the time that structures our lives and in some ways cages us in. In these ritualistic acts, in these ritualistic acts that are so important in our lives together as a church, we are freed up in a way that's hard, maybe impossible to make rational sense of. But it is in these moments when, again, if we can give our hearts over, we are expanded and we are opened. And let's be honest, it may not happen for us every single time we take part in a religious ritual, but it happens often enough and with enough power that we keep coming back for more. And that is why we're together in this room tonight, to have our feet bathed in love, to bathe another's feet in love. Oh, we can push back on this notion. Peter certainly did. That seems to be a very human response when unexpected, scandalous love is offered to us. Free of charge. No strings attached. We can say, this can't be right. It defies everything I've been taught, everything I've learned. I've got to earn my way through the world. I get what I deserve. I've even got to earn my way into heaven, whether by having right belief or by following the rules that have been agreed upon. Somehow we've learned that nothing good comes for free. Folks, this is free tonight. But no, Jesus says, not tonight. Tonight there's only one rule that matters, and I just showed you the bounds of that rule. It's boundless because it's not man-made. And it's simple, really. Simple but not easy. This is the only rule. This is what I want to tell you. So as at the end of my life, my earthly life is very near, listen up. This is urgent. Love one another as I have loved you. I just showed you what that looks like. You must take off that robe. Whatever robe it is you wear, be it the robe of a teacher or a parent or a business person or a son or a daughter or a priest. We've all got that robe. That robe we wear, several robes actually. And they are the roles that we play in this world. They show who we think we are, who we want others to think we are, and they protect us. But they are not our essence. Jesus tells us on this Maundy Thursday to take off our robes, tie a towel around our waists, and get right down there in it. And care for one another. To take off our shoes and to be cared for. And that's how we will be known as his followers. So far, we followed Jesus to this room tonight. Tomorrow, we will follow him to Golgotha and to the cross. And that's a journey nobody really wants to take, following Jesus all the way to the end. But we will. Because he loves us to the end, and all the way through the cross, to the tomb, all the way to Easter. I'm going to leave us with those two questions that I began with. If you knew you were about to die, what would you tell the people you love? If you knew on the night before your death that you were leaving behind the people that meant the most to you, that had shared your joys and heartaches in your brief journey on earth, what would you do for them? Amen.